This is the Washington Indivisible Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Cox. As we draw yet another month closer to the November election, it is time to check in with our friend Kevin Jones. He is a member of the Washington Indivisible Network Steering Committee, and of course, he is the head of the WIN Elections Group. Kevin, how are you, man?
Hey, Stephen, I'm doing great. We're looking at the calendar. Like you say, May is just a week away, and November's behind that, not very far away. So yeah, I'm glad we're here to talk today.
Yeah, the year is already well over a quarter over at this point, edging up on a third, and November's going to be here before we know it. So let's just jump right in. I know there's been a lot of news since we spoke last in February that has likely had an impact in the 2024 race. What are some of the most important developments as you see them?
Well, there are a few. I've just been watching the Trump criminal trial today, just checking up on how our former president is doing. And, you know, the split screen is pretty amazing when you see Biden out reducing student debt, making more investments to address the climate crisis, working, across so many different lines of supporting regular folks. I'm really encouraged with what I'm seeing. And yeah. Biden's ratings are on the way up. You know, they're definitely a bright spot there for what when we look at the pollsters.
Yeah, the split screen, I think, incredibly important. Also, the Arizona Supreme Court ruling on abortion there. Is that factoring into your numbers at all?
I think it certainly is. You know, there's no shortage of passion around the notion of personal reproductive freedom. Neither you nor I personally experienced that directly, although many men have families and know exactly what their wives go through in that whole process and how critically important it is that we deliver healthcare services when we're most vulnerable. And certainly childbirth in America puts people in that position. So yeah, it's getting a lot of people, I think, very motivated, and rightfully so.
Still very much a leading issue, and one that we are going to be continuing to stress and track. Some states have started holding their primary elections, which means that we are getting a clearer picture at this point of who the candidates are going to be in November in some very important state races. I want to talk with you about California, Ohio, Pennsylvania, who just held their primary, I believe, on Tuesday. We're recording on Thursday. All three of these states are ones that the WIN Elections team is tracking. What can you tell us now about who we can be supporting in these states?
So this is a great time for listeners to go out to the indivisiblevashon.org and click at the top banner to get to the Get Out the Vote page, and then find the Get Out the Vote matrix where we lay all of that out. But as you mentioned, California, six close U.S. House races, California and New York, both now had their primary. We know the candidates to support. They're out there on the candidates page that people can get to from that same indivisiblevashon.org. So that's exciting. If you care about flipping the U.S. House, California is a great place to put your time and energy. Pennsylvania is interesting because they have a competitive attorney general race. The former attorney general, which we know is so critical to states accurately counting ballots, the previous attorney general is not going to run again. So we now know that Eugene DePasquale is the Democrat who's moving forward. We also know that Janelle Stilson is the Democratic challenger in Pennsylvania 10, joining three other close House races, Susan Wild, Matt Cartwright, and Chris DeLuzio. And of course, we also have Senator Casey. So all of those seats, we now know who to support, and our volunteers who go out and populate that matrix, showing you how you can write postcards or how you can make phone calls to support those candidates in those states. They're doing a great job of keeping the matrix up to date for us.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, of course, very, very important. You and I have been talking about this since we've started this series this year. And, you know, I would encourage people to go to indivisiblevashon.org/GOTV, as Kevin says, and just kind of follow along as we discuss some of these numbers. You know, we talked about Arizona's Supreme Court ruling on abortion, which many people, Indivisible National among them, are saying puts that state at the very center of the electoral fight in November. So I would like to kind of bring in some other states as well that I know that you have brought to my attention. You're saying that Montana is now a little more important than Nevada, according to your research. I think this is a little bit of a shift. Talk about why this is happening.
Yeah, what we do throughout the season, throughout the election cycle, is keep track of what pollsters like Cook Political Report, Inside Elections, Sabato's Crystal Ball. We look at what they are saying. We also look at other organizations and who they're supporting, like Swing Left, Grassroots Dems, Indivisible, the Democratic Party. And so we try to combine all of that information to see where the energy is being focused. And so there's a rating scale. I put some numbers behind this. And when I run the numbers, I can see if there's any substantial change in priority. So there's a few little adjustments, basically with Montana becoming a little more important than Nevada in terms of competitive races. That means Susie Lee in Nevada's third moved from lean Democrat to likely Democrat. So that's a shift in our advantage. And interestingly, Indivisible organizers in Nevada, when they saw that we had Susie Lee on our list, they said, you know, I think Susie's got a lot of support here. Maybe you should help some other one of our candidates in Nevada. So they had their finger on the pulse, and the national prognosticators are now, showing that in their rankings. The other place is in Oregon, and good news in Oregon, we both had Cook Political Report and Inside Elections moved Andreas Salinas in Oregon's sixth from a lean Democrat to a likely Democrat. So what that means, while I really like to help our folks focus on where the really competitive races are, that means a little less attention in Oregon because they just have one fewer real competitive race. The one people want to know about is in Oregon's fifth, I believe it is, and that is a Republican in a Biden won district. And so the expectation is that there's a lot of Biden supporters in that particular district, and they should be able to more easily flip that seat. So we're looking forward to Oregon's May 21st primary, which is going to be a couple of days before our next scheduled podcast. So we'll be able to bring people up to speed on what we learned in Oregon about who they can support for that one really competitive seat there.
Yeah, Oregon's 5th is one of the districts that has somebody that has a representative that Indivisible is calling the unrepresentatives, and they're targeting those races. And of course, in a call yesterday with Leah and Ezra, they very much feel that we here in Washington have a huge role to play in making sure that the Democrats are able to retake the House with, of course, the races in 8th, Kim Schreier, and Marie Glusenkamp-Perez in the third. Let's do talk a little bit more about what's going on at home here. I want to talk about the governor's race a little bit. So listeners have probably heard about the drama at the Washington Republican Party convention last week. So basically, they endorsed MAGA candidate Sammy Byrd for governor. He was disqualified by the GOP candidate committee for failing to tell the committee about a bank larceny conviction in his past, but delegates overrode that and nominated him anyway. Even though former 8th CD Congressman Dave Reichert is ahead of Byrd in the polls on the Democratic side, Attorney General Bob Ferguson is still leading in money and endorsements over former State Senator Mark Mullett. What can you tell us right now about how some of the handicappers are looking at the Washington governor's race?
Well, the good news is there. The handicappers are saying we have a likely Democrat position in the House. The only stronger endorsement would be a solid Democrat. So there's a little
so
bit of
lean, likely, and then solid.
Yeah, it toss up lean, likely, and solid. So in the likely category, you're really in pretty good shape. And of course, this is playing out across the country with the current Republican Party leaning towards really extreme candidates. As a matter of fact, interestingly, in Colorado, Lauren Boebert's chances for re-election in her old seat. Let's see, let me get this right. In
There's been
her
a little
old
bit of shifting
seat.
around, is my understanding.
Well, and it used to be a toss-up when she was in the race. And now that she's not in the race, that seat is now like a lean Republican. So in other words, when she brought took her MAGA credentials out of the race, the chance for some other Republican to win went up. So when the MAGA extremists get nominated, everybody's pretty much dialed into the fact that it reduces their chances of winning.
Less electable, something to be keeping in mind. It's my understanding that there are some state legislators here in Washington who have recently decided to not run for re-election. That's shaking things up a little bit. How is that impacting things?
That's a really interesting question. So I did take a look. There is a long list. I took a look at when each one of those races was last contested, what was the win margin? And almost all of them, the last time they ran, they were over 8% win margin. So what that tells us is those districts are, pretty well defined for either a Republican or a Democrat.
The 8% is pretty
So I don't
high.
want to. It's, when we were talking to folks who've done this work for years, they said, once you get up above six, five or six, it can be really hard to flip unless some really dramatic thing happens. Which, by the way, is great for Dr. Kim Schreier because she is now, for the first time in history, her last election was won by about 6%. So she's definitely gathering the power of incumbency, if you will. But the one thing that, so when we look at the seats where people are stepping down, my expectation is that we're largely not going to see a change in any numbers of Democrats versus Republicans in the state legislature.
In
But
other
we
words,
are
Democrats
very
are going to be
likely,
able to hold on to their majorities.
right, which is pretty substantial majorities right now. I think it's seven in the Senate and 14 seats in the House, which is pretty darn good. But I expect we will have a chance of seeing more younger, more progressive Democrats in the Democratic seats that are being vacated. So the one area of interest for these seats that are being vacated is a Republican-held seat in the 26th legislative district, which is between Bremerton and Gig Harbor. It turns out that let's see, Spencer Hutchins won that race by less than 1%. So it is possible to flip that. And it turns out that Spencer's stepping down. Maybe he sees the writing on the wall. Addison Richards, who ran against Hutchins in 2022, is running again. So there's some name familiarity there. So that's good. And then Jesse Young, who many of your listeners may recall that name, Jesse lost to Emily Randall in 2022. So both the Democrat and Republican running for that empty seat are well-known people in the 26th legislative district. We just have to be making sure to put enough energy in there that the Democrat wins this time, and we would get an additional seat in the Washington State House controlled by a Democrat.
Let's talk briefly next about initiatives. So we all know about the GOP-backed initiatives looking to roll back progress on equitable taxation, health care, the climate. Last Wednesday, a campaign to defeat I-2117 has launched. 2117 is the one that would roll back the climate cap and invest program and would eliminate the billions of dollars that it brings in. What can you tell us about this campaign now to defeat this measure? No on 2117.
So that is a really active campaign, and their launch brought in over $10 million to support the campaign.
Well.
So that is great news. There's a lot of people lining up on the vote no against Initiative 2117 campaign. We have Washington Conservation Action. We have Fuse Washington are two of the leaders in terms of working against that particular initiative. And that's the money that polluters need to now pay for their climate pollution. And the money, as you said, helps us with protecting forests that sequester carbon, shifting transit towards less polluting types of transit, electrifying ferry boats, which is pretty important to Vashon Islanders and Bainbridge Islanders and Whidbey Islanders and so on. So there's a huge, huge benefits that would be almost, impossible to restore without the Climate Commitment Act. So we definitely want to be talking about making sure people are aware of that they need to be voting no. Now, that campaign is now on Take Action Network. And so once they start to get their campaign volunteer activities going, people can subscribe to that on TAN. And you can also find out again on the Indivisible Vashon. We changed our candidates page. It's now actually a candidates and initiatives page. And so not only 2117, but the other two initiatives we plan to add to that page. Once they get their campaigns up and running, you'll have the opportunity to find out where to donate, as well as how to get signed up on TAN to receive info on all three of those initiatives, once those groups are up and running.
Excellent. Well, you mentioned the Take Action Network. What other election resources can people find with TAN right now?
On Take Action Network, well, let's see, we now have Marie Glusenkamp-Perez organization is on TAN. And so for our TAN users out there, you basically will be able to go do a search on Marie, find Marie's campaign organization, and then basically TAN will email you all of the things that you can do to help Marie, which is quite a few. She's pretty active. That's probably the most active campaign right now on TAN. Other groups are still kind of getting their feet on the ground and making sure they have those volunteer opportunities in place.
Yeah, and I know a lot of Indivisible groups are also in the process of endorsing candidates, or at least planning to. I understand that you're going to be including information about that at indivisiblevashon.org/GOTV, right?
We do. We now, if you check it out, we now have a candidate endorsement page. Our friends in Olympia have got a page set up now online, so you can find their page on the Indivisible Vashon Get Out the Vote candidate endorsement page. I think Tacoma may very well follow along. I know they're endorsing. Hopefully, they'll put together a page that we can host on that website. And we're reaching out to other groups in Washington who've told us they do candidate endorsements to see if they're also going to be putting a page together to show people who they're planning to endorse. One other thing is that as soon as a group does endorse somebody on our candidates page, we want to go in and add that little star, if you will, to that candidate, just so when you're looking at candidates on the candidates page, you can also look and see which Washington State Indivisible chapters are supporting that candidate.
That's so great. I love that. I mean, you've been really, really busy. Tell us about some of the other resources that people can now find on your webpage.
Well, we have both postcard writing in all but two of our states. Right now, we haven't yet found a postcard writing opportunity in Colorado or Oregon. So we continue to look for that. But Pennsylvania, which is going to support not only the White House, but the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House, they've also got an attorney general race in Pennsylvania. So lots and lots of benefit to getting voters turned out in Pennsylvania, in California, and Michigan, Arizona, New York, Ohio, Nevada, Montana. We've found opportunities for postcard writing. Oh, and with North Carolina and Wisconsin. In phone banking, all of those same states, except for we're still looking in Michigan, Nevada, and Montana. So, but we're starting to get the matrix filled out. So hopefully we'll have a phone banking opportunity and a letter writing opportunity in each one of our key states that we're promoting.
Wow, that's just incredible. Indivisiblevashon.org/GOTV is where, again, you can go to get all of that information. Kevin Jones, you've been super busy. Keep up the great work, my friend. Thanks for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Looking forward to our next opportunity.
And that'll do it for this week. The executive producer of the show is Kat Pipkin. If you would like to see a video version of this podcast, head to facebook.com/indivisiblepodcast. The email address for the show is indivisiblepodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to Lori Colwell. And as always, my thanks to you for listening. I'm Stephen Cox, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.